That was fun. Yeah. We don't get tired of those songs, do we? The tail end of the Christmas story is one we don't get tired of either. I'd like to read it for you. Matthew 2, 9 to 12. The Magi, the wise men, have gone to Palestine to find the baby king. And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Reverend Judy talked about this last week, and this is part two. I would love to say we planned it that way, and I'm just going to leave it there right now. It's interesting, after you've been married to someone for a while, you still learn things about them. After Meryl and I had been married for 15 years, I was teasing her that she left the lights on in the house a lot. And she said, "You're right, I do." And she said, "You know what you do?" I said, "What?" She said, "You leave drawers open." I said, "I do not." She said, "Yeah, you do." So I started paying attention, and I had an epiphany. I left drawers open. Who knew? I had no idea why I did that. It was a minor epiphany, but it was fun, and we had a good laugh about it, and I'm glad she's laughing at this very moment. In Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol, something of a more major epiphany with Ebenezer Scrooge. He is a man who is greedy and isolated, alone, pessimistic, and just downright mean. He didn't want to give anything to anybody. He only wanted to keep as much as he could. Well, that started to change for him on Christmas Eve, the story goes, as three spirits visited him. Spirit of Christmas past, present, and future. And in the last vision that a spirit gave him, Christmas future, Ebenezer was shaken to see his own grave. And that made a huge change in him. He decided that if he had any more time left on the planet, that he would change. And he did. The meanest man in London became the happiest man in London. And his heart was full of gratitude and generosity and kindness because of the Christmas miracle. The light of Christmas liberated old Ebenezer. Well, that's what an epiphany is. It's an insight, an aha moment, a sudden flash of understanding. Sometimes it's a gradual flash of understanding. You're looking for one thing, and as you're looking for that, something else comes along and changes the way you see things. And it's better than what you were looking for. Something changes. And that something might be someone like yourself. The Christmas story is one of epiphanies, of aha moments when the light went on. People were looking for God in all the wrong places. When God took action in the birth of Jesus, it was utterly surprising. No one saw it coming. The light for all salvation appeared in that little stable. A few people, though, caught on, and they said, "Aha, this is what God is doing." The story wraps up, Christmas story in the Bible, with the coming of the Magi, also known as the three wise men, or as one child put it, the three wise guys. They traveled from the east, probably from Persia, They were likely royal court advisors and astrologers. They studied the heavens. That was a profession in those days, soothsayers. They saw the Christmas star, whatever it might have been, and they decided it was a sign that a great king was being born in the West. And so they got funding and they organized an expedition to go from the East to the West to find out. Last week, Reverend Judy told us about the king at the time of Jesus' birth. That was King Herod. She and other commentators have described him these ways. He was power-hungry, self-indulgent, narcissistic, willing to sacrifice anyone to satisfy his almost psychotic need for power, amoral, ruthless, and cruel. Not the kind of guy you like to hang with, huh? He heavily taxed the peasants of Galilee to build opulent palaces and cities throughout Palestine. He took from the poorest of the people to dress up in marble and gold his own narcissistic image. One of the cities that he built was called Sepphoris. It was called the Jewel of Galilee because it was so beautiful. His son Antipas later expanded this city. It's possible that in Jesus' adult years, Jesus worked in that city because it was about an hour's walk from Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. What a contrast Sepphoris was to the world that surrounded it. Here you had all the lavish lifestyle of an egomaniac, surrounded by the most pitiful poverty in the world. Enter the Magi at Jesus' birth. Now, they weren't just astrologers. They were diplomats. They were probably there on a diplomatic mission. The rulers of Persia were always in conflict with the West, from the times of Greece into the times of Rome when Jesus was born. So they had a vested interest in knowing what was going on. So they sent a diplomatic delegation west to find out. Like good diplomats, they stopped by Herod's palace and asked permission to be there and to seek this baby king. Herod saw an opportunity. Sure, he said, go with my support, find this baby, and do this for me. Come and tell me where I can find him so I can worship him too. Well, the Magi were no fools. They knew Herod had other plans, and they had probably killed the threat to his power, this baby, which was so big in Herod's mind. And so they outfoxed Herod at the end, and they went home by another way. What did the Magi find? A baby? Yes, but much more. We don't have the details in the story except that they gave him gifts and they worshipped him before they left. Jesus certainly, after being in Herod's glitzy palaces, to find him the son of peasants, to see that he was born in a stable, that he was considered illegitimate by the society around him, no claim to anything. They were probably wondering, what is up with this? But as they listened to Mary and Joseph's stories, they started to have a gradual awakening, a gradual aha moment, an epiphany. They were witnessing a miracle in progress in this baby king, Jesus. The Bible is a long record of didn't see that coming. It tells of God who acts in very personal ways, but not in the ways that people expected. The Christmas story is full of those, just a few. Mary, hello Mary, you're going to have a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. Didn't see that coming, really? Joseph, in this dream that you're having, I'm telling you, an angel, to marry this woman who is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Really? Didn't see that coming either. How about the shepherds? They're out doing their work at night, out from the city of Bethlehem, or the town, the village. The heavens open up. Choirs of angels singing praise to God for the ultimate salvation of humankind. Really? They didn't see that coming. Herod? A little baby of peasants, illegitimate, was a threat to his power? Really? He didn't see that coming. And the Magi, expecting a royal prince, instead found something very different. Really? They didn't see that coming, did they? But the biggest example is Jesus. Jesus was the opposite of Herod. He had no power. He was poor. He was illegitimate in the eyes of the world. He was homeless, a refugee, persecuted, and executed. What sense does that make? God with us? Really? Didn't see that one coming. However, when we don't see it coming, that is when God does his best work. That's when God does the very best work. You're familiar with the story of Les Miserables. It's the novel that Victor Hugo wrote about 18th century or 19th century France. The key character is Jean Valjean. You've probably seen the musical, heard the songs. Jean Valjean is poor, in a very poor society. And so he has a sister with a child, and they're starving. He steals a loaf of bread. He's caught. He's sent to prison for 19 years at hard labor for this crime of trying to feed his sister. After 19 years, Valjean is released, and he is a bitter, desperate, broken man, an outcast from everything that he saw. He found shelter at a church. A priest took him in for the night, gave him food, washed him up. And during the night, to repay him, Valjean went into the cupboards and stole the silver spoons and forks and knives and plates and bowls, threw them in a bag, and ran out the door. Well, the authorities caught up to Jean Valjean either during the night or early morning, and they dragged him back to the church. They said, "We caught this man who stole your silver." And the priest said, "He didn't steal them. I gave that to him." And the authorities were looking like, "Really? Didn't see that coming." And in fact, the bishop, the priest said, "In fact, I'm upset with you, Jean, because you left so fast that you forgot to take these two big silver candlesticks. Here you go." And so the authorities released him. And after this scene, this broken, desperate man given this incredible gift, the priest says to him, "Don't forget, don't ever forget, you promised to be a new man. God has raised you out of darkness. I give you back to God." Gradually, Jean Valjean had his epiphany. The story goes that he was in a chapel praying to Jesus about the change he was feeling. He said, "Why did I allow that man to touch my soul and teach me love? He treated me like any other. He gave me his trust. He called me brother. My life he claims for God above. Can such things be?" And he ends the prayer by saying, "Another story must begin." The light had gone on. Jean Valjean did not see that coming. Aha! Light in an otherwise dark and gloomy world. After Mary, Jesus' mother, found out about this unexpected thing that was going to change her life completely, what did she do? She sang a song of praise. I wouldn't have thought to do that myself. We call it the Magnificat. One of the verses from the Magnificat Luke 1:53 says that God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. Not what people expected. In his first sermon, Jesus shocked the listeners when he read from the prophet Isaiah, Luke 4:16 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. God sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time had come when the Lord would save his people. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and everybody was had their eyes fixed on him. And this is the shocking part. He said, "Today, this passage of Scripture has come true, even as you heard it read." The people were shocked and angry. It shattered their expectations of what God was doing. The God revealed at Christmas was not a God of religion. That would have suited most people. God in a box, taken down off the shelf, open every now and then, put God back on the shelf. That's really the kind of spirituality that a lot of the people, including many of the leaders, wanted. The God of Christmas, though, did a one-time shocking thing. The visible image of the invisible God, the baby Jesus, intimate, compassionate, personal. God with us, alongside us, real, alive. That was unexpected. Jesus proclaimed healing, liberation, and good news to those who knew at least. Some of them refused to let the light go on. They wanted to kill Jesus, and eventually they did, on the cross. But some allowed the light to go on. God had done something totally unexpected. Had taken on the form of a human being and offered himself up innocent to die on a cross. Wow. It didn't make any sense because the people were so busy waiting for the life they imagined that they missed the life they needed. And here it was. Many years later, one of the Gospels said it plainly in John 1:3 through 4. The Word, Jesus, was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. So what do you think about this? How is it with you? How is your soul entering 2020? Is the love of Christ in your heart somewhere? Or are you not turning the light on and going on your way? Do you even consider the possibility that that light could be there? When I first encountered Christ, I was like a person who was fumbling around in a dark house, trying to feel on a wall for a light switch. And when the light finally flipped on, it hurt my eyes. It took a little while for my eyes to adjust. And once it did, it no longer hurt. It became warm and healing. I knew I never wanted to go back to fumbling in the dark. The life God offered me was unexpected. Aha! That was not what I was looking for at age 14. I had a very messy life. I am still a flawed person. My prayers are flawed. My sermons are flawed. A lot of things about me are flawed. But I look at it this way. Those flaws are cracks where the light of Christ enters in. And that is hopeful. I have to tell you, I've studied, but I've never been hung up on whether there was a virgin birth, whether there was a star, or an alignment of planets, or a supernova, or a comet, or whatever it might have been, or dreams and visions, or choirs of angels singing. I'm not hung up on those things because I'm still trying to grasp the central miracle of Christmas. The light has come, the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. If God can do that, then every other miracle of Christmas is minor in comparison. And that this God is still with us, this light, this Jesus, freely giving the gift of grace. Well, after 40 years of loving Jesus, I still can't get over it. Wow. That's about all I can say about it. Wow. Incredible. Amazing. Unexpected. It dazzles me. It's a miracle of love that I didn't know I needed. And it keeps coming. That love still overwhelms me. I hope that you have a kind of miracle in your life. And if you do, celebrate it. Thank God for it every day, several times a day. And if you don't, know this. You can have it. Don't give up on it. In Jesus, God made a forever statement. I am with you always. I am with you always. You'll find it. That's what we do here at St. Paul's. We help you find it. Give us a chance and we'll walk together. The light is on for you. Let's pray. Oh God, reach within us. Warm our hearts to your love. Holy Spirit, lead us through the darkness into the night, into the light. Christ, our Jesus, light our souls with your love. Amen.